Thanks for joining us on the Society of Illustrators of Los Angeles podcast. We have an exciting treat for you. We have Jeff Sornig from Nickelodeon, who's working in production on Pinky Malinky. And this was recorded at the San Diego Comic-Con 2016 on the floor at our booth. And we have some podcasts that we did there. There's some exciting interviews coming up, including Jeff's. So take a listen and hope you enjoy it. Have a good one. Bye. Hey, folks. This is the Society of Illustrators of Los Angeles podcast. My name is Santosh Uman, and I'm at the San Diego Comic-Con 2016 in the San Diego Convention Center. I'm here with Jeff Sornig. How's it going, Jeff?
Hey, going really good. Good to be here.
How's your Comic-Con, man?
This is my first San Diego Comic-Con.
That's so freaking amazing.
I'm having a blast. It's been everything that it's built up for. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, the crowds and the this, and it's like, you know what? That's all part of the experience. It's all good. Positive attitude.
What's your big event or part of the con that you've really liked?
The thing that I really liked that I did today was sat in on the Oni Press Invader Zim panel.
Oh, yeah.
So, big
Joan Vasquez, was he there?
He was, yeah. Joan Vasquez, Aaron Alexovich, Eric Trueheart, Dave Crosland, and Megan Law.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I think they just put out the Ninja Turtles that Johan Vasquez directed, the little short that
Joan,
they did.
It was amazing.
Oh, my God. It's so freaking cool, man. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is like so cartoony and fun and energetic. And I love the CG cartoon. It has its own feel and look. But this thing is just filled to the brim with like great 2D action and just exaggeration that cartoons are really known for.
Jonin's style has been, you know, like a big influence. I always, you know, admired Zim and, you know, some of his other comics. So, you know, anything that he does, I'm like, I'm in. It's good.
So you're at Nick now.
I'm at Nickelodeon Animation Studio in Burbank.
And you're enjoying your stay there?
Oh,
right?
For sure. Yeah. It's a dream every day.
And it's been how long that you...
I came out from Detroit in February of this year for the Nickelodeon intern program. And that finished in May. And then I was hired on as a production assistant on Pig Go Banana Cricket, which is amazing. And then just 2 weeks ago, I've moved over and I'm a production assistant on a new show, Pinky Malinky.
Awesome. That show, is that the public knows a little bit about
they
it?
They know
yet, or
a
no?
little bit about it. I mean, it's been, you know, approved, and there are some trailers out there on the internet. You know, they have an Instagram and, you know, stuff like that. So they're promoting it. And I'm not exactly sure what the official launch date's going to be for it, but we're working on it right now.
Cool.
It's a really fun show.
So what's a couple of the things that have really kept you excited about, like, moving from intern and now you're a production assistant? And,
yeah.
And you know, it's an awesome community, I've heard, at Nick. But what do you feel has kept you super excited about
being
there?
It's definitely the people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just the nicest group of people. And, you know, it's just a treat every day to roll to work, and it's not even work. You know, I don't even say that. It's like, I'm going to the studio. It's like,
and I believe they have a new building, right? Is that they're...
They do, yeah. This is Nickelodeon Animation's 25th anniversary year. So there's like been a lot of really cool events and stuff going on here at Comic-Con. But yeah, right there in Burbank, next to the current Nickelodeon headquarters, they're in the process of constructing a brand new building. That'll be right there next to the existing one at the corner of Lake and Olive in Burbank.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you know, you'll see the nice glowing Nickelodeon logo on the side of that building really soon.
It's a pretty big building,
right? It is,
right?
Yeah. Maybe 5 stories.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So what keeps you inspired in terms of your drawing? What's the impetus that keeps you going and puts, you know, gets your blood boiling in terms of putting out artwork every week on your Instagram or on your social media?
Yeah. Really, it's sort of like an internal fear that, like, I, you know, because I'm so late to the game, you know,
yeah,
jumping into animation and, you know, just picking up drawing a few years ago after having not drawn
for a while,
for a long time, so like there's just like this internal like drive that's like I have to play catch up. You know, even though, well, you know, that's perception, it's reality type thing. So
it's like,
but yeah, I'm
wanting
like,
to get that mileage.
Of course, like I feel like I'm trying to cram in the last 20 years that I kind of let slide by into the most compressed timeline ever, and it's all in imposed on myself, but it keeps me going.
A good imposition, right?
For sure.
So you have you're taking classes at the studio, or are you?
Yeah, I'm getting into a concept design class through Studio Art there in LA. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to hopefully taking some character design classes with Steven Silver.
He's great.
Oh my God, I love his work.
He's
so
fantastic.
It'd be amazing if I get in on that class.
Oh yeah, is it the personal mentorship
that
he's doing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's one-on-one help that is really going to probably
unbelievable.
Make you grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
It'll
great.
Be
yeah.
Totally worth it.
I've watched a couple of things from the self-study on schoolism.com for his character design thing, and it's so brilliant. I actually took a class with him at the Union when he had class there. And he talks about this thing called the ladder principle that was so helpful, because if you think of that principle and you look at your characters, you immediately see the problems with your characters, and it's like, okay, my characters are boring. How can I push it and make it more like what Steven Silvers talks about with his ladder principle and some of the ideas that he talks about in his class? And I think his voice now sticks to my head when I think about, you know, his design principles. And you know, I'm sure you're going to probably have that drilled through your head if you get into that mentorship.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I came out to California, I watched his, he did, you know, very regular YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, his, you know, Steven Silver chat session, basically, where, you know, he takes a few minutes and doesn't really talk so much about art, but more about like philosophy and mentality and stuff like that. It's just always been, you know, really great. So to come out to California and meet him on a couple of different occasions at local conventions has been awesome.
Yeah, I subscribed to him on YouTube, and it's awesome to like put him on a playlist and just have him just going, because you need that voice to counter attack that other negative voice that's saying, no, you can't do this. You know, you can't do this.
It is.
So,
that little demon that lives in the back of my head that says, no, too old. No, I haven't been doing it. It's like, it's great.
So how are you, besides YouTube, what else are you using to try to keep positive and stay focused on your goal of being a character designer, I think is what you've mentioned.
Character design would be the ultimate goal. I'd love to get into that. But I buy a ton of books, and whether it's like lighting, composition, some are specific to cartoons, some are just other design in general type stuff. So
to kind of incorporate into your work, right?
Yeah, so try to keep it all well-rounded and everything. But I watch a lot of cartoons. You know, I recently really got into Rick and Morty. It's hilarious.
Oh, that show cracks me up.
Yeah.
It's just so funny and so right on. I mean, the writing is just brilliant.
The writing is incredible, yeah.
It's a great show.
Watching, sort of where things are headed, trying to see what's popular. I'm more rooted Hanna-Barbera Looney Tunes. That's my jam from when I was a kid.
Classic,
so.
Chuck Jones or...
I love Chuck Jones.
So are you doing traditional and digital in terms of the medium? Are you doing both?
I do. Yeah, just to try and keep pace with, what's happening. I was playing a lot with Manga Studios Clip Paint Program.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Photoshop is, an industry standard, so...
There's so much out there in terms of tutorials and designers. There's a guy named Dennis Zilber who's an amazing character designer, and he does these phenomenal digital painting techniques. Some of his stuff is on, I believe it's on YouTube, but he's on School of Visual Storytelling, School of Visual Learning. svslearn.com. And his design sense is amazing. But his ability to light something that's cartoony and almost give it the sense of dimension, it's like, that looks like it's 3D. He's managed to somehow take a really strong sense of light and understand ambient light, you know, I forgot some of the terms. My mind is like going blank. Influences, you've said Looney Tunes. Is there any particular era that you've really like connected to?
Well, I mean, probably anything like, you know, throughout the 70s, right?
Because yeah,
I grew up as a Saturday morning cartoons. You know, that was the one day a week. Saturday was cartoon day.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, all the, you know, whether it was Hong Kong Phooey, Yogi Bear, you know, all the, like, the classics.
The Hanna-Barbera, yeah. The limited and non-limited, you know, cartoons.
As I'm learning all this stuff now, yeah. But, I mean, back then, I love the shape of the characters,
yeah.
And, you know, the humor and stuff like that. But now, you know, try to become a more student of the, you know, game there. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, really kind of dissect it and figure out how those character designs work and why there's, you know, so, you know, keep it simple, but then, you know, it's functional too. It works so good.
Is there any particular, like, designer from the past that you're trying to channel that you really could, okay, who from, like, some of those cartoons, maybe
sure.
In the 70s, that maybe not necessarily, it could be a designer, but, you know, I mean, obviously Chuck Jones had a design sense, story sense, and timing, you know, he was really timing well with those, you know, Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner shorts.
And those are some of my favorite episodes, like, because you immediately see Chuck Jones' style.
Yeah.
As soon as you see that artwork, you before the credits roll. Oh yeah, I love it.
What did you think of like, as for me, I mean, I was influenced by those cartoons, but then when they started doing these What a Cartoon series, like Genndy's cartoons, like Dexter's Lab.
I was
Lab.
A huge fan of all of those too. Yeah, and at that point, you know, I now had kids, and you know, even though I might have,
you're watching with them.
That was my, you know, quote unquote excuse to watch cartoons. You know, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? You know. So I mean, all of those were household favorites, you know. I mean, from the Nickelodeon, you know, Angry Beavers was a big one in our house, you know, Real Monsters, Pesky Sumo stuff. But Dexter's Lab, you know, Powderpuff Girls, Johnny Bravo was huge.
Johnny Bravo's fantastic. I actually saw some little action figures of Johnny Bravo. It's somewhere over there on the
side. Don't
tell
me that. I'm going to go buy those right now.
They're like the Moochie heads. They're sort of like the big head and the small bodies. But I was like, this is friggin' amazing. So, I mean, the one thing, one of my friends is Leo Partible, and his brother is Van Partible, who created Johnny Bravo.
Yep.
So it's been fun to kind of talk to him and like ask him a little bit about, you know, Johnny Bravo and where he came from and sort of the beginnings at Loyola Marymount, where he had that character sort of an early incarnation of him in his short film. And it's like, wow, okay, they were able to see, or he was able to see, there's potential in this character and pull this out and do his own thing. Do you see yourself as creating or doing your own stories with some of your own characters?
Oddly enough that you bring that, because like lately I've been reading a lot of books about they're like screenplay books, but you know, I mean, I guess it's one thing to be able to draw the character, but if I want to create my own story, so I've been reading like Save the Cat.
Oh yeah,
Save
Blake
the Cat
Snyder.
Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Those are great books. You know, I get turned on those by some, you know, folks over at Nickelodeon, and then so in Save the Cat, he references like Hero of a Thousand Faces.
Oh yeah, Joseph Campbell. Yeah.
So I bought that book, and so yeah, you know. I got a ton of reading to do, but...
You're incorporating those ideas to help shape your stories eventually.
Creativity, Inc. was a great book by Ed Catmull. I love that book. I mean, because that's Pixar's way, right?
Yeah.
Story is king, and you know, you can have the greatest character design in the world, but if the story is weak, then it's nothing. So
do you see yourself doing little comics or little animation things that you want to do? Are you interested in... pursuing actually taking some of your characters and animating them on your own, maybe? Or
I mean, I had a an After Effects sort of passion for a while that, you know, since I've come out here, you know, I haven't really touched After Effects a lot, but like I have a Vimeo account, and there's some, you know, animations that I had done that are, you know, they're pretty rough starting
simple,
out,
but
So that was what really got me launched, sort of like, oh my god, like something I can draw, make it move.
Yeah,
that's it. I was hooked.
By adding some little puppet pins.
Yep, I was definitely hooked. Yeah. So I mean, that's obviously a whole lot of work we'll do there, but you know, whether it's Flash or, you know, doing anything like that.
But you got to have the story to tell, and that's what
exactly.
You're sort of building the blocks to tell your story. That's awesome. So if there was any one particular piece of advice that you've gotten from your internship, what was it that you felt that kind of helped zero in on helping you move up?
Sure.
What's the one piece of advice that maybe somebody from
just you know, from
higher up bestowed on you?
Sure, yeah. You know, I mean, from the, you know, samples of, you know, cartoons and stuff that I'd done, you know, it was, you know, first recommendation was, you know, take some figure classes just to help, you know, with construction. And then, you know, the other big, like, sort of technique tip was just keep it simple, you know, because, you know, you can't draw. An illustration is one thing, you can go bananas with that, but if you're going to try and animate it, and you make it overly detailed and complicated, like, you know, some studio is going to want to have your head on a stick, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely keeping it simple and keeping loose with it.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
And as you continue to grow, are you finding mentors in the studio system that are helping you along as you're like, okay, I'm pursuing this, and you're kind of attaching to, like, that you kind of, like, show your work to maybe on a monthly or a...
You know, I haven't actually got, like, a single person. It's, you know,
multiple people.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's so many, you know, any person that I bump into, you know, and I just, you know, they know what my interests are. We just have, you know, those sort of casual
attention
conversations.
Attention attendees, the exit hall will be closing.
There's
in
that
30 minutes.
Special voice that we hear. One of the things that I found interesting is I'm a little bit older, like you, and I've been taking classes who are run by sometimes people who are 15 or 10 years younger than you.
Sure.
In terms of critique, how are you approaching the field? Like, well, okay, here's somebody who's a lot younger, but they're amazingly talented, right?
It's ridiculous how talented these.
Oh,
I mean, regardless of, like, I don't even, you know, age doesn't even matter. It's like I look at the work that, you know,
it's coming out. Yeah,
I mean, Jordan Rosado is amazing, you know, and it's just crazy, her work, you know, at Loud House. And it's just like, you know, any bit of advice I get from any of those guys,
oh yeah, it's great.
It's
yeah,
so good.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, and it's for me, I think, is just putting aside every kind of like prejudice and just like,
what
can I learn from them that I don't know that I can use in my work and become a better artist. And that's sort of the way I'm trying to see it. But it's daunting to see talent that's like 25, 26, 27. Of course, some of them have been drawing and continued to draw,
sure,
and were encouraged at an early age and didn't stop. Where it's just like...
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I... Yeah, it wasn't that I wasn't encouraged when I was young and going through school. I mean, I took every single class that was available to you when you're going through, you know, primary education. It was just at the point when I graduated, I lacked the focus and discipline to proceed to an art school. And, you know,
or
so,
art wasn't necessarily...
Yeah.
Art, I think, isn't necessarily encouraged, you know,
right,
as much as we'd like it to be, right?
So but, yeah, and then, you know, you can go to Chris Wimberly's Animation Network if you want to catch up on 23 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because we covered all that. But, you know, so when I see these, you know, like young mid-20s artists that are just amazing, and I look at it and I'm like, you shoulda, woulda, coulda. Like,
but
I just stuck with it.
The shoulda, coulda, woulda demons.
Yeah, that's it.
Always at your shoulder. You have to go, right? And I guess that's where listening to Steven Silver and all these influences. Yeah. Even, I mean, I listen to Chris Wimberly's podcast because that inspires me to hear people's stories, you know, and just like hearing where they came from and how they're just conquering their demons. It's another thing that kind of adds to your fodder to fight back.
Right? It's like therapy, because when hear other people that are, you know, in your, you know, what you would like to be peers and stuff like that, and, you know, and you hear them say, oh yeah, you know, sometimes I'm worried that I'm not good, and you're like, you're amazing, what are you, crazy? Yeah, so when you hear other amazing people have those own sort of self-doubts, it in turn is sort of therapeutic for you. You're like, okay, I'm not the only one who's crazy in my own head.
Doubt continues to plague, but you just have to push it away.
We're not alone.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So what advice do you have to give to some of the 18-year-olds or whatever age they are that are jumping back into a new career of doing art or animation, and they're not sure whether they could do it? What's the advice?
Well, if you're young, I would just say don't stop. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Just, you know, keep grinding. If you're old like me and you're changing gears to come to this, then it's like, hey, just do it. I mean, at no point since I've been out here has there been anybody that's just looked at me all cross-eyed like, is this guy? He's none of that. Nobody has ever brought up age. It's always been one of those things that's been in my own head, you know, so don't let age hold you back, just take chances and keep pushing, you know, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us
and
telling us about your adventures, and hope to see you continue to grow as an artist, and hope to see you at the next con and seeing you draw more or be on a panel maybe, who knows, right?
Yeah, I love, you know, everything that's going on here with the Society of Illustrators, you know, so.
All right.
Great. Thanks for having me, man. It's been awesome.
Thanks, Jeff. This is the Society of Illustrators of Los Angeles podcast. I am Santosh Uman. We are signing off. You can contact me at Santosh913 on Twitter. And Jeff, where can they look at some of your work, by the way?
I'm on all the social media at Sornigraphics, Sornigraphix.
Awesome. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, folks. This is Santosh Uman. I am the president of the Society of Illustrators of Los Angeles. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We hope to bring you more exciting podcast interviews every month. In the meantime, folks, if you like the podcast, please rate us on iTunes. That would help us greatly. And if you are interested in becoming a member of the Society of Illustrators of Los Angeles, you can go to www.si-la.org. It's a great opportunity to connect, get into community, and learn to spread your wings as a creator. So come by and visit us at our physical location in Eagle Rock at the Pop Secret Gallery, 5119 Eagle Rock Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90041. Hope to see you guys soon. Expect some exciting podcasts coming up. Bye. We'll be right back.
Thank you.